And 3 John 1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you watch over us now, that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would move and work within us, that, Lord, we would get this passage of Scripture. Lord, it is a very easy thing to focus on one part of it, and, Lord, not the beginning, but, Father, help us to be right in all things. Help us, Lord, to have a good relationship with the truth in every way that a good relationship can be had. Because, Lord, we know that the way that we act and how we behave matters to you. So help us, Lord, to be found doing right. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You know, I've read through this and I've often said, you got to be careful. You got to be real careful over what parts of Scripture you glaze over. And one of the things I think we glaze over so easily is in these epistles, in these letters, where we glaze over the introduction, the welcome. I want to look at verse 2, and I want to see there where it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." You know what he's saying? I hope your body is as good as your spirit. Now think about that for a second. Some of you are sitting there going, "Brother, believe you me, I wish my body was doing as, or my body was doing as well as my soul is." Right? I wish that I was as healthy physically as spiritually I am. But there may be some of us here sitting there going, "Well, I don't know if that could, I don't know, like, I'd hope not." Some of us are sitting there thinking, My physical body may be in better shape than my soul or my spirit is right now. You know, we think of that song, "It is well with my soul." Some of us, we don't have it well with our soul. Now again, some of us, our spirit is strong. We're doing well. We're good in the Lord and we're walking with Him and we've got lots of faith. I tell you what, Sister Theta, if your body were as strong as your spirit, I wouldn't arm wrestle with you. I'd be afraid something might break. And that's the way it is with some, as their spirit is so strong and so steadfast in the Lord that their body would need to catch up. When John wrote this epistle, that's a very nice thing to say. But you know, when we sit there and we look at that and we say, "Well, maybe my body's doing better than my spirit is right now. Maybe I'm not doing well." And what is it that John links how well the spirit or a soul is, in his word, how well the soul's doing? It's in the relationship with what? The truth. The truth. How is your relationship with the truth? Verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." We know the truth. Now I know you have heard some of the message that prior pastors have preached. I know that it is the word of God you seek to honor. I know the knowledge that is within this church. But knowing something and doing it are two completely different things. Knowing truth will help you to do it. You can't do right without knowing the truth. But knowing the truth is not the whole battle. I've known Christians who prided themselves on how much of the Bible they knew, but there was no practice to go along with it. You are wasting what you know. You're allowing it to sit and to grow dust. one of my jobs in the apartment, one of the first things I got to do in the apartments is we had some old lockers that people had moved out of. They moved out of the apartments, but they left stuff in those old storage lockers they had down there. So one of my jobs when I first got into the industry was go through everybody who had moved out a long time ago, clear out all their stuff, put it into storage, and they had X amount of days to come get it, whatever. I'd go through that, and some of the stuff in there would be so moth-eaten and gross and dilapidated because it sat there for years, untouched and unthought of. You may know the truth, but when you go to access it, how much dust is sitting on it because you ain't used it? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it, and it's become such a habit now. There's no relationship between me and that other than to say, I believe it. I can amen it when I hear it from the pulpit. I can tell other people what we believe, but to sit there and say that I use it, well, I can't go that far. What is it that lightened John's heart? Hey, I heard from these people that you've got truth in you, and you walk in that truth. Wouldn't that be nice to be said of you? Hey, listen, I was talking to somebody you knew. I just kind of bumped into somebody. We were talking, and they mentioned you, and they're like, oh, I go, oh, I know them. They come to our church. And oh, yeah, they're one of the most faithful, godly people I know. You know how much that would warm and thrill my soul? And be able to come back to you and say, hey, listen, I ran into so-and-so. I don't know how we got onto the topic of you, but this is what they said about you. Wouldn't you take that as high praise? Hey, I hope your body is doing as well as your spirit is, as well as your soul is. That is a wonderful compliment. But many of us, we can't get it because we're not running that race right. I read an article. It was a Spanish athlete. He was competing in a foot race. He was running. And as he came up, as he was running, he came up and he saw the Nigerian runner ahead of him who should have finished the race, stopped running and started wiping his eyes and getting himself ready. You know, have you ever seen those videos of people who think they're done with the race, so they quit early? Well, he was confused because the boundary wasn't well marked. He thought he had crossed the finish line. He hadn't. The Spanish runner saw this and was shouting at him in Spanish. But the Nigerian runner, of course, not knowing Spanish, had no idea what the guy was shouting at him. So finally, the Spanish runner came up behind him, put his arm on his back, and pushed him across the finish line so he would get the victory he would have earned had they marked the line properly. They gave the guy from Spain just a proper hard time. Well, you could have just ran past him and got the victory. He goes, he would have won. I know how fast he is. I know he would have been across that finish line, and before I was even able to see him cross that finish line, he won. That was the race he ran. That's the truth of it. He ran the race he ran, and I wasn't going to do that because that's dishonest. He knew what that man could do physically, but he revealed to the world what he could do spiritually. I know what the truth is, and I'm going to abide by it. He whipped me by a mile. I'm not letting that go. I ran the race I ran. He ran the race he ran. And I ain't willing to take that from him. It never would have been mine. He even said, where's the glory in that? Where would have been the real victory in that? Nowhere, nothing. That's not victory. That's not winning. If we are not running the race we're supposed to. If we are not abiding by the truth. And listen, we have heard the truth. I grew up hearing it. You've been hearing it for decades, some of you. You've been hearing the truth. And you sit there and you've adopted the truth. And you said, yes, I understand that this is the word of God. And I will listen to it. And I will hear it. And I will ring out the amens about it. And I'll say all that I can about it. And I love that. I love that we have a relationship with the truth. I love that if I were ever to fall off sideways, some of you take me the other way, right? Hey, brother, let's talk a little bit about what you preached up there. Do you really not believe in this doctrine anymore? Have you really changed? Y'all wouldn't have even let me up here had we not been right on doctrine, right? Some churches, they don't ask questions about doctrine. And we were talking about that on Friday. Right? They look for a pastor like one looks for someone to fill a job. Or like the one brother Mark brought up on Friday, they look for a pastor like one's looking for a date. Must be good with the outdoors. Friendly. Must have a heart for older people, blah, blah, blah. Come on now. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. What do you know about the truth? Where do you stand on it? Now John Satter, he says, my children. I don't think he's talking about a biological child here. I taught you in the faith. Now I look over at Pastor Hugin, and he will forever call my pastor, but as Paul called Timothy his son in the faith, very much I look at Pastor Hugin as my father in the faith. He taught me, he educated me, he showed me the Word of God, he dedicated the Word of God as what we're gonna learn from, where we're gonna stand, here's how you teach it, here's what it says, and that's what it always came back to, the Word of God. It was never about this book. It was never about this thing that somebody wrote over here, these articles, what we believe is a part of this convention, nothing. It was about the Word of God. That's how he taught me. This is what it says. Let's pull it apart. Let's put it back together. But for all, we're going to listen to the Word of God. We've heard the Word. And many of us, we agree with it. I would say all of us, we agree on what it says. The Word declares the truth. Now y'all have your Bible. If you read your Bible, you are reading the truth. Every situation I have pulled apart in the Word of God and applied to my life, those rules that God had instructed. And you know how I preach it. You know how I do it. I like to sit there. Okay, here's what they're talking about. But do you see the steps that he put in there? I love preaching that way. I love preaching about doctrine as a whole. But I love taking a passage of scripture apart and saying, listen, this is what he commands. But do you see the steps he put in there for you to follow? I love that. The Word of God will not only tell you something, but it'll tell you how to do the thing. And I love that God did that. And I love that it's preserved that way. And how do you know that it's preserved? Can I sit there with a time machine? Can I sit there with well documentation? No, I'll tell you this. Man would not have written this. Man would not have written a religion that so contradicted our base desires. Look at the religions out there. Look at what man has come up with. Look at what man has done with the Word of God. The way they've twisted it and perverted it to make it their own. That is what we do. We don't write this stuff. This wisdom, this knowledge goes beyond what a simple man would be able to pull up. I don't know about you, but for me sometimes it's to the extent of my abilities just to keep up with it. Just to understand it is a workout, let alone for us to be able to say that we could create it. The Word of God declares the truth. And not just that, but you've had many people teach you the truth, have you not? If you're like me, and I know you are, you've had different Sunday school teachers down through the years, different pastors down through the years, and what have they held up before you? The Word of God. And I know that, because you wouldn't be here today had somebody not explained to you the Word of God. Right? That eunuch. How can I understand unless somebody teaches me? Aren't you glad you weren't left alone with the book, but that there was somebody there to teach it? Oh, and not teach it the way we see in false religion, where they put their spin on it, and, well, you won't understand. Now, if you're saved and you're a child of God, you'll understand some stuff. Holy Spirit will help you understand some stuff. But I'm glad I had a teacher to point me out and give me discipline and show me the rules for interpreting and for understanding the Word of God. Others have declared to you the truth. And I'll tell you what, for as long as I am the pastor of this church, it is the truth that I will declare. Again, not perfect. I'll be as fallible as any other pastor you've had. But we will declare what? The Word of God. I've heard people sit there, they'll go to the bookstore. Pastor will sit there and say, all right, well, I got to get some new sermons. They'll go and they'll buy a book of already pre-made sermons and they'll bring them over and they'll read them. Well, what do you got? And I figure that out when I make the mistake. What book are you preaching through? Right? Because I've got this weird obsession. I think you always ought to be preaching expositorily somewhere, right? You got three sermons. One of those should be where you're preaching from one end of scriptures to the other. And that's what we're doing right now on Wednesdays. What book are you preaching out of? And they'll pull something off of their shelf. It'll be something. Oh, we're preaching. Oh, this one right here. Look, it's got some great outlines in it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll go through books like that with outlines. You know, my pastor would do that. He'd get a book. He'd go through. He'd name a series, and it'd be after that book. But I'd go buy the book. What was in the book was never what was coming out of that pulpit, man. And people would sit there and say, "Oh, I found that on the internet." I go, "No, take a little bit closer of a look. It ain't the same stuff. It may have the same flavor. It may be the same connotation. It may be following the same path. But he ain't preaching what that dude's saying. I promise you." We ought to preach the Word of God. We ought to preach it solely. What about those out there, those Catholic churches that they get their sermons via the email? We're preaching this week. Okay, all of us? Yes. Okay. And to many of a parishioner, well, that's fine. You know, but for me, I want to hear the truth. I want to hear how the Holy Spirit has worked through the man of God to declare unto us the Word. We've heard it. We've believed it. Not because it was so well presented to us, but because of who it is that belonged to. God gave us the Word. So I believe it. I get so frustrated by people who will sit there and say, look at how God talks about how He loves us. Look at how caring God is. Look at how loving God is. And I say, amen. He most certainly is. But don't forget about the part where it talks about us as sinners. Don't forget about the part where it talks about our responsibility for our sin. Don't forget about the judgment God puts on sin. Don't forget about all the things of the Word of God. Those clowns out there that have the audacity to stand with a book open and say, you got to be careful what you take seriously out of here. You ought to take it all seriously. Did I not formulate? I said, I look at this sermon. I got this whole sermon out of a greeting. I sat there. I got convicted out of how John said hello. You ought to take the whole Word of God. The whole Word of God seriously. We ought to believe it top to bottom, front to back. Oh, are you really willing to put your whole belief into one book? You better believe it. But not because of the binding, not because of anything, not because of its following, not because of its fandom, but because of who wrote it. And again, I'll tell you, I know for a fact that this book is preserved by God and written by God, because no man on earth would put these things into a system of belief. I've never seen a single religion made by man that didn't put its faith in man. Or at least did not come back to the base instincts of man being part of its worship. And you understand what I mean by that. For some of you grown-ups, you put your mind to it. These stone idols. I took Caspian over to the Flint Institute of Arts. We looked through on some of those statues, and it talked about one or two of them were used in ritual, in the rituals of their worship. And he goes, "Are these idols?" "Yeah, man. This is what we're talking about. We talk about stone idols. Somebody, and you look at it. You could fashion that by hand." And you sit there, "Oh, bow down to that. Make that part of the thing. Oh, this was an image of their deity, and they would use that in their worship, but it was created by man, absolutely." And what would they do? And of course, you can't explain that to a child that age. I'll tell you what some of those rituals were. Some of those things they were doing were, they were getting drunk, they were getting stoned out of their minds. They were given into some very awful, very lustful behavior. That's how man writes a religion. And we've seen how people have taken the Word of God and they've tried to rewrite it into their philosophy. Got your Mormons down there marrying little girls. Marrying multiple people, and that's supposed to be fine. I don't see that in the Word of God. Do you see that in the Word of God? Oh, I see where it has happened, but I don't see where it's anywhere other than condemned. Well, that kind of behavior ain't good. Some of the things that we see in modern day religion, we look at the Word of God, and we say, that ain't there. We'll even see things that have gone in time past, even by churches that carried the name Baptist. That ain't the Word of God, brother! You messed up! That ain't right, that's sin! We need to stand on that truth. If we believe it, we need to adopt it through and through, because God gave it to us, and it ought to be a part of us. It ought to be a part of us. Thinking back to that runner, that was one of the things that he said. He brought it back to how he was raised. What would my mom think if she saw that video where I whipped past a guy knowing he already beat me? It was a part of who he was, so that when he was sat there at the end of his race, sweat pouring out of him, his heart's thumping, his brain's tired, he's exhausted from the effort. At that moment, he could have given in to his base desires and whip. But no, that righteous way of thinking was a part of who he was. And when it's a part of who you are, it becomes your reaction. When you fall, what's the first thing you do? I guess it depends on how your body is. But some of us, when we fall, what do? You throw your hands out, right? Whoop! Try to catch yourself. Maybe on something around me, maybe there, maybe on the ground. Try to break the fall with your hands, right? Why? Because they're a part of you, right? They just naturally do stuff. You ever have something thrown at you? What's your first reaction? Right? Why? Because they're a part of you. When the truth's a part of you, it's going to come out. And depending on how much of a part of you it is, depends on how much of an unthinking reaction it is. Some of us, we're at that point where we'll stop a bad behavior and go, whoa, all right, let's take a log off this fire and think a little bit. This ain't Bible. Some of us, that's where we are. Some of us will sit there and be tempted by a thing, and that's where we'll hit the brakes and say, nope, not doing that. And sometimes truth can be so much a part of us to where we will see the beginnings of things, right? I heard somebody use the illustration of like our tornado warnings and watches, right? Some of us, we can stop sin at a sin watch before it becomes a sin warning. We got all the ingredients here for sin, so I'm out of here. We've got every opportunity for something vile to happen, and I'm not going over there. Hey, if I head over in that direction, this could happen. If I say this, that could happen. So you know what? I'm going to err on the side of caution, not be a part of us. Folks, that is going from wisdom to discernment, where I can read the situation as well as the Word of God, know what I ought to do, know what I ought not to do, and perform accordingly. What was it? What was the comment here? That you walk in the truth. Go to Proverbs 4, verse 23 for me. Proverbs 4, 23. Proverbs 4, 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now that's how to walk in the truth right there. Oh, I looked over, I saw that you were walking in the truth. Because, of course, we already talked about hearing the truth, believing the truth, adopting the truth, but now we have to walk in the truth. If we're going to be commendable, if our spirit will be stronger than our body, not to say that your body ought to be in bad shape, right? You don't got to look like me for your spirit to be better. No, your spirit should be so strong that your body should need to catch up. But here we see the outline again, the command and the outline. Keep thy heart. How do I keep my heart? I keep my heart the way I would take care of my body, right? Be careful with what you bring in. Exercise regularly, right? Don't bring in bad stuff. Bring in copious amounts of the good stuff and exercise your faith, right? I'm not going to sit there and entertain these bad things or let these bad things entertain me. I am going to be diligent in what I bring into my life. Right? That's why we preach against so many of the lifestyle choices that people make today. You got to be careful with what you're putting into your heart, because what's in there is what you are. Right? I think I've used this silly illustration before. I squeeze an apple, what comes out? Apple juice. No matter what machine I use or how I squeeze an apple, the only thing ever coming out is apple juice. If I fill myself with the sin of this world and I'm entertaining myself with it and I'm surrounded by it, and that's my mode and operation of thinking, guess what's going to come out of me when the bad stuff happens? Those things. Those things. Oh, and you get so much grateful. That's the hard thing about being a Christian, is all the stuff you're not allowed to do. It's not about what you're not allowed to do. It's about what's good for you and what's bad for you. And those things are bad for your spirit. They're bad for your soul. You got to keep your heart with all diligence. Because I'll tell you what, things will weasel their way in. I promise you. Those temptations, those thoughts, they'll come in and you not even expect it. How often have you sat there with the Word of God open on your lap and you saw something that contradicted a thought process you had? Well, I didn't know that. Well, I never understood it that way. I always thought, and we rely on what society has told us and not what the Bible says. Some of us, I had a misconception here. I misunderstood. It sneaks in. It weasels its way in. So what do we got to do? Be diligent. Be diligent. As you would your garden, picking out every weed, protecting it from things around you, those things that would come in and corrupt it, we want to be as careful as possible. We want to be not just careful, but we want to be purposeful in our actions. Because what I put into it is what's going to come out of it. And if I fill it with strife, vainglory, all the things we talked about in the last couple of weeks of Sunday school class, if I fill it with terrible things are what's going to come out of it. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. That's talking about your behavior. Put that off. And those that would behave poorly or say things poorly, get them far from you. You know, there's thousands of hours, maybe billions of hours of entertainment. I didn't research this, but I want you to imagine all the entertainment there is in the world. Do you think the entertainment that would edify you spiritually is, do you think there's more of that or less of that than the stuff that would just rot your brain, as your mama used to tell you? I would say the bulk majority of it would just rot your brain. It really does. You know, and I'm putting it down every now and then. Every now and then you entertain yourself in a way just makes you laugh. But when that's the bulk of our diet, is the silliness of this world, we're in trouble. We got to put that stuff far away from us. TV shows with the cussing, the swearing, the bad behavior inside of it, the murdering and the drinking and the sleeping around and the raunchy scenes. You got to put that stuff far from you before that becomes the stuff you participate in. It's called becoming desensitized to bad behavior. You know what I got? I sat there. I tried to do the math on all those tapes because sometimes I just think about stuff. All right, if I listen to 3 a day, how many days would it take me to get through all the sermons we've got back there? And I'm not good at math, so I gave up. But just to listen to all the stuff that I've got hanging on the walls, the stuff just from Brother Titus, it would take me weeks. If just in my time spent in the office to listen to 3 hours a day while I'm here, go through that stuff, it would take me weeks. But then I sat there and I thought, what else would you fill that time with? What else would you listen to? What else would you entertain yourself with? And I'll ask you this. I mean, you think of one of the worst TV shows out there you can watch. And I want you to think about what we could find on that website of ours that we should all be going to on a regular basis, getting some of those sermons off of them. And I ain't trying to push mine. Don't worry, I got more coming. But we've got some saved up on there. You should tap into those. those old series, those old random sermons, those old conferences. I tell you what, you could fill every day for months listening to those sermons. And I want to ask you, you compare those to the worst TV show you could watch today and those messages, and you tell me which one's going to better affect your spirit. Which one's going to be better for you? Let's go ahead and lay the argument aside that it's legalist to pay attention to what you consume. Let's lay that aside for a second, and you tell me what would be better for you. And I tell you what, I could go get me a chicken sandwich from McDonald's, or I could go get me a salad over there from VG's, and both of it's food, right? It's calories, fats, meats, whatever, right? Which one's going to be better for me? Oh, well, brother, I think the salad's going to be better for you, but really, you got to be able to have a little bit of both. I agree with you, but you don't need the bad stuff, do you? You don't need the bad stuff. One will affect you good, one will affect you bad. So as I consume things spiritually, I need to understand the effect that it has on me. So we need to keep our heart. What else does this verse say? Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. You know what the downfall is of talking to, getting back with some family and talking to them? You get exposed to the gossip. Hey, did you hear about how cousin so-and-so did this with that? And oh, they were doing this over here. And whoo, I'm glad I didn't do that. And all I hear is that Pharisee stood up. I'm glad I'm not the publican. You need to be real careful. Because ain't none of us got the right to stand in the high places and call out others like that. Now listen, we'll call out sin. I'll take a brother aside, a sister aside, and say, hey, whoa, you got to calm down there. You know, sometimes people get real bad. I had to tell somebody just recently, you need to stop taking a flamethrower to your life every few months. What you need to do. Seems like every time you build a little bit up, you burn the whole thing down. You got to chill out just a little bit, my friend. I'll tell somebody something discreetly, but to sit there and grab somebody aside and say, hey, let's talk about all the wrongs they've ever done and how awful they are, that's some bad behavior. You know what? You want to know what the other danger is? You forget where you are. I ain't here to find out if I'm better than this person or not. I ain't here to find out if I'm doing better than that person or not. I got to know where I am. And I got to walk where I'm walking and go where I'm going. Did they not teach you that in driver's training? Where your eyes are is where your car goes. You know, I had this driving partner who got their eyes locked in on a horse. Road turned this way. They kept going this way. Enough to where even the driving instructor, hey! I was so scared in the back of that seat. Just staring at the horse. And don't get me wrong, it's a good looking horse, man. You guys would like it. It's a good looking horse. But not enough to crash into, you know. Not worth crashing into for it. Not worth crashing for it. Got to watch where we're going. Pay attention to what's going on around us is good, but I need to make sure I'm where I'm supposed to be. Right? Hey, if this is what the Lord demands of me, He wants me to be a godly father, and these are the steps to becoming one. All right, man, here I am. That's where I got to be. What about in my marriage? All right, I'm going to take care of that. What about as the pastor, as a church member? All right, here I am. I got to be there. And if I'm off, I got to get right. None of this whining and crying around about why I got to be wrong. Why does people got to point out that I'm wrong? Why am I always being corrected? Here's an idea. Get on the road and you won't get corrected. One of my kids, I don't like getting yelled at. Well, Gus, I got some good news for you. You get to decide in life how often you get yelled at. Did you know that? Now, sometimes you run across some bad people who are just going to yell anyway. But if you know where you are, you're going to sit there and listen to those people. Oh, I got yelled at by a boss so hard one time. Just cussed out and threatened and hollered at. The boss that told me to do what I did came up behind him, called him over into the office for a little bit. She walked by me as she was coming out of the office. Sorry. I didn't worry a thing. You want to know why? Because I was right what I was supposed to be doing exactly what I was told. So you know what? When people yell at you and it ain't your fault, it's not a big deal. But if it is your fault, you know how you can help people reduce the amount of times you get yelled at? By doing what you're supposed to be doing. I ain't got to worry about the preacher up there hammering on my sin if there ain't no sin for him to hammer on. I can sit there instead of saying, oh me, I can say amen. Right? If I keep it together. And even more so, I don't have to sit there and get stressed and anxious about being wrong. If all I've got to do is figure, oh, you're right, I took the wrong way. Here we go, let me come over here. I told you about what I did with my cousins, right? I was telling my cousins how when I was going into the hospital to see my uncle, I'd made the wrong turn and ended up in the maternity ward. Just kind of wandering around there. And of course, because I had my Bible, they'll let you do it. So I was telling them about that. They were laughing. We go down to lunch, and we were headed up, and we went up to a set of elevators, and it showed the section of room numbers on the elevators. I go, all right, we can use that. They're like, are you sure? I go, sure, there's the room numbers. Up there, guess where we ended up again? Maternity ward. They were laughing at me, giving me such a hard time about that. Fast forward later, we were at the funeral, and I had several of them. They couldn't make it up to the funeral home, so they wanted me to call them on the video phone so everybody could be there. The kids could be there to see what's going on with their dad's funeral. So there's the cousins again, and I'm talking to them, and the funeral director got ahead of me and says, all right, let's go look at the caskets. And I go, all right, so I get all my stuff unplugged, and I'm taking them for a walk, and I went the wrong way again. They stayed on the same floor. I went down to the main floor. And they weren't there, but I saw a basement. I go, all right, well, maybe that's where they keep it. I went down there. Don't ever go to the basement of a cemetery, of a funeral home. Don't ever do it. I put my foot down there. It was dark. All of a sudden, situational awareness came over me, and I go, nope, 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 nope. My cousins are sitting there laughing their fool heads off. For the rest of my life, I'm going to be living this stuff down. You got to know where you're going. You got to pay attention. I'm in the wrong spot. I'm in the wrong spot. Hold on, let me get to the right spot. And I felt so stupid. They're sitting there having a hard time. They're trying to see the coffin that perhaps or we could put their dad in. And I'm just wandering around like a fool out there like Magellan, just getting lost. Hey, I'm in the wrong spot. Let me get to the right spot. You ain't got to get anxious about it. You ain't got to dread it. Hey, you're in the wrong spot. Okay. Well, brother, you have to understand, I was put down so often for being wrong as a child. It's very hard for me to be told that I'm wrong today. That is over, hopefully. Lord willing, that's over. And it's time for you to trust the Lord. He ain't going to hurt you for being wrong if you want to come back and get right. We think about the idea that leaving the 99 for the one, you think he's verbally abusive to that one? You know the secret is, you ever have a dog that runs away from you? They get outside and they run and they don't listen to you. You know the trick is to get them back? Call out to them as happy as you can. Hans got out. You know, really frustrated. Danielle frustrated everybody. He just run. He wouldn't come back. I left the church and she's calling him and calling him. By the time I got back to the front, to my driveway, I opened up my car door. Hey, boy! I whistled for him. He bolted to me, almost barreled me over. I gave him some love and said, oh, you're a good boy. Come back when I call you. God, you're a good boy. We go back inside the house. Didn't have to. I had him by the collar, but he's pulling over towards the house. Sorry, we're going back inside now. All right. That's how the Lord treats us. I don't think he says, oh, who's your good boy? He's not like that. But he's glad to have us back. It's like that prodigal son and his father. Hey, get the ring. Get the robe. Get that fatted calf. My son's home. See, when God wants to correct you, it's for your own good. It's so that you can have that, as Jesus said, that life and that life more abundant. He wants to bless you. Right? It's not about control. It's about you being where you're supposed to be. It's about you being what's going to be best for you. So you know what you need to do? You need to watch where your feet are going. You need to watch what you're doing. You need to be deliberate about your actions. There's things that I won't do just because I want people to understand that I would never cross that line. I won't do it. And again, that's not just so that people would ponder about me, but so that I would have that solid barrier to where nothing would ever cross it. Ponder the path of thy feet, Proverbs 4:26 says, and let all thy ways be established. You have established ways. The stuff that you do, is it so well known that you're going to do it that it can be predicted? Oh no. I tell you what, you go over there and you say something awful to them, they're going to bring it back to the Lord. And we were talking, you know, talking about giving the gospel at this funeral. Well, your family, and, you know, they might not expect that. They knew what they were getting when they called me in there. They knew. I'd done it before. And guess what? I did it again. Next Thursday, I'm going to do it again, but louder, because we're in Kentucky, and you're allowed to be loud down in Kentucky. Right? They expect that out of you down there. Why would he get up and preach the gospel at a time like this? Because when you say preach, that's what first comes to mind with that guy. Right? Well, why did they stop everything and open up in prayer first? Because they've got this habit of bringing God into every situation they're in. How established are your ways? How about the things that you won't do? I won't lie. I won't cheat. I'm not going to take this that don't belong to me. In a foot race, I won't even cheat at a foot race. If I got the opportunity to see the other guy who should have won, I'm going to push him across the line. Because what's right is going to be right no matter what the situation is. What's right is going to be right. And that's what I'm going to do. That ought to be our desire. Verse 27, turn not to thy right, to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Think about this, how often we're walking on the path, we're serving the Lord, we're right where we should be, and all of a sudden, well, let's take a little bit of a break, right? It's like that diet you let go of during Christmas and Thanksgiving, and it takes you to May of the next year to get back on it. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just going to go a little this way. Okay, I won't do that. See, I won't do that. But I will go a little this way, right? I'm not doing that. But this isn't right, but it ain't that. So I'll go over here. I'll go left. You know, whatever. My left, your right, right? A little over here, a little over there, and you're out in the weeds. You go too far this way, too far that way, you're in trouble. We were up there, we're up north where my mamma and papa used to have their cabin. It's all been sold now, owned by other people. They ain't taking care of it the way papa did. Broke my heart to go up there to see it that way. You know, all the things that my family would do to take care of that land, just didn't do it. And I said, all right, now if you go this way, you go over to where Aunt Dolly was. You go this way, you go over to where mom and dad were. And then if you go over this way, that's where Uncle so-and-so was. You go too far that way, there's a swamp over there. But over here is where we kept the ostriches until that became very apparent. By the way, if you ever want to start an ostrich farm in Michigan, don't. There's a reason why they say bury their heads in the sand and not bury their heads in the snow. They don't do so well. Now over here's where we kept the buffalo. That was fun. Liked having the buffalo. You know, hey, go too far this way, though, you'll get in trouble. Now back over there, we never went over there because that's where they had that bear den for a few years. And we, after a while, we were pretty convinced that they weren't there anymore, but still never went back that way. Don't go that way. Don't go this way. Stay straight. Stay straight. A little left, a little right will hurt you. Stay straight. And what if I put my foot in evil? You get your foot right back out of it. You ever walk and you put your foot in something? Oh, that's foul. That's awful. I've never met anybody who was like, oh, that feels good. You know? I've never met anybody who sat there and said, I like the smell of that. That's good. That's good. But we do that with our sin, as dank and awful as it is and disgusting as it is. That's nice. That's real nice. That feels good on my toes. No, get your foot out of there. That's not what it says. Remove your foot from evil. Don't get distracted. Don't fall away from where you ought to be. Go to 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Timothy 4:8. You know, we got to come here. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You know, I tell you what, I wish I was in better shape. Because I tell you what, being in good shape helps you out a little bit, don't it? Right? Get up and down those stairs real well. Carry things from here to there real good. Right? Overall, it gives you general health. But you know what? Don't help you much in the next life. Because this body stays behind. And onward we go. It profits, but a little. You know what a good spirit will do? You know what godliness will do? It profits everything. Right? Your good health might help you a little bit when your good shape of your body will help you a little bit with your overall health. But it's a solid godliness in your life that'll help you mentally get through those hard health issues. It is a good relationship with God. It is godliness that'll help every relationship that you are in, that'll help every situation that you're in, will help every job that you partake in. Godliness affects everything. Again, not that you should, again, abandon your physical body just to put issue, just to put focus on your spirit, but your focus on your spirit should be very, very, very dominantly strong. Right? If your body's your left hand, or if you're right-handed, right? If you're right-handed, that ought to be your spirit. And your left hand be your body. If you're left-handed, left hand should be your spirit. You get the illustration here, right? You should be dominant on your spirit. Building into it. Why? Because godliness affects everything you touch. It affects everything. And it even says there, you know, we think so much of that first part of the verse, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. And so often we stop our quotation of the verse right there, but keep going. Having promise of the life that now is. We've got promises for life right now. Number one, God will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the promise of His strength, the promise of His wisdom, the promise of His blessings, right? We've got those promises. We've also got promises of persecution, like Brother Mark was talking about this morning. We got promises of what's going to happen in our society around us. We are promised the things that we are seeing today will happen. We are promised those things. So you need godliness. You need to be walking in the truth, as this verse says. You need to have that strong relationship. You need that strong spirit because of what's going on today. A strong spirit will get those blessings. A strong spirit, a heart that is linked to truth, a soul that will sit there and obey the truth no matter what. We'll see those blessings. We'll see those great things from God, that strength, that wisdom. Those that seek truth will find it, and on top of it will get wisdom. It is a great thing to be godly in these times. Because life will happen. And I need to know how to live life. I need to know how to do it right, because it matters. Not just for the temporal things around me. Don't get caught up in just, well, if I act good and godly, good and godly things will happen to me. Amen. No, I want to please Him that sent me, just like Jesus did. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to please Him. That's my main goal. And speaking of pleasing Him, He says that the promise is not only for what we know now, but for what is to come. Right? Of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. You know what's coming one day? The Lord's coming. Now, that's a hard truth. For some of us, it is a wonderful truth. Right? It is a truth that is hard, but it's hard like these stairs or this handrail. It is a support to us. Right? It is a blessing to us. Right? It's a good heart. Right? It's firm. It's a firmness. Hey, I'm waiting for it. Truth of that which is to come. Hey, if the Lord don't come back for you, ain't none of us getting out of here alive, right? When I open my eyes, I know I'm going to glory. Which tells me this. I need to be working. Because I don't have a lot of time. And I want as many people to know the Lord as possible. I want to be as good of an effect on people for the work of God as I possibly can. As much as God would empower me to do, I want to do. Every now and then somebody come up, "Are you exhausting yourself? You're working too hard on that?" Yeah, brother, Brother Jim Dukes, he helps out with, he does a lot of work for camp, wasn't able to be there last year. He says, listen, he goes, if I could, I'd talk you out of doing this because I know you'll burn yourself out doing it. I go, yes, I will. But that's where the Lord steps in. That's where the Lord takes over. And my weakness, that's where his strength will be found the most. So yeah, absolutely. Hey, you need some time off from doing this, doing that? No, no, I don't need time off from serving the Lord. I tell you what, I could even be on vacation serving the Lord. I don't need a break from that. God is good. And oftentimes that is where I get my strength. All right, so I want to be as big of an effect as I can because this is a short ride, my friends. A short ride. What else is coming? Not just death or the return of the Lord, but there is a judgment coming where I've got to stand before the Lord. And you know what I want to hear? Let's go back to our text in 3 John. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. The phrase that we are looking for is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I want to be able to look my God in the eye with the full understanding that I walked in the truth. See, if I just convince you, it's a very good thing. I love you guys. I want you to have a high opinion of me. But if I just convince you, there's a whole other layer underneath the surface, right? And that could be awful and terrible. But as long as I convince other people I'm right, it's a dumb way to live. I want to walk in the truth all the way through. To where even God will sit there and say, I know you. You walk in the truth. And it brings me so much joy to see you walk in that truth. He did not preserve his word. He did not make sure that it is still accessible to us today. He did not ordain preachers. He did not put them into your life. He did not give you Sunday school teachers for you to sit there and have the truth and do nothing with it. He's giving it to you to one day use. And what is our use for truth? Are we walking in it? Are we living in it? Is it everything to us? Or is it just a social club? Is it just a... Maybe it's a book club, right? We're just big fans of one big book. That ain't me. Those are the words of life, and I plan on living by them. And I pray that each and every one of us here today can say, I am walking in the truth, or brother, I'm going to get some things right today, and I will walk in the truth. How you live matters. What do you want to hear when you stand before the Lord? Well done, or... well, you tried. Or, well, I wish you would have done better. And I don't think he'll even have to say that. I think as those things are burned away and only what was done for Christ is sitting there, I think when we go to give those things over to the Lord, I think we'll be able to sit there and say, this is not as much as I wanted to give. Talk about taking the crowns that will be given at that judgment and turning them back over to Christ. I think we'll be aware of the blessings that we received in life, be able to look at those rewards and say, this ain't even close to what you deserve. I could have done so much better for you. So how will we walk? Will we walk in truth? Will our spirit be so strong that our body needs to catch up to it? Or has our body already caught up because our spirit is so weak? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's important to you that we act right. Lord, it's so important to you that you sent your son to die on the cross for our sins because we've messed up. And the Lord, you give us the words so that we can know how to behave and what to do. Lord, it's very important to you. You even promised rewards for doing things for a cause we don't even deserve to be a part of. Lord, you care. So I pray, Father, that we be found walking in truth. Lord, not making a mimicry of salvation, not just taking the blessing of an eternal life and not doing anything with it. Lord, not chasing people away with our bad behavior, not living as a hypocrite. Father, I know that it's very hard for us to live up to everything we believe, but Father, if we're not putting everything into living what we believe, we're doing wrong by you. We ought not to be happy being out of sorts with your word. So I pray, Father, when you look down at Home Missionary Baptist Church, you find each and every one of its members walking in the truth. For the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Page 150.